to read from God's Word, from the 11th chapter of Judges. I'd like to speak a little more about this figure called Jephthah. I'll read from the beginning of the chapter, so Judges chapter 11 and verse 1, but I'll begin considering from verses 8 and 9 until 11. Judges chapter 11, and I shall read from verse 1. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valour, but he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out, and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. It came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was, when the people of Ammon made war against Israel, that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Then they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon." So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "That is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over the inhabitants of Gilead." So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If you take me back to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord will be a witness between us, if we do not do according to your word." Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And I will leave it there. So here we have this man of God, born into what was considered an unfortunate circumstance, exiled from his family. But while he's in exile, living in the mysterious land of Tob, Ammon, or the Ammonites, are making war against Israel. And a delegation of elders, possibly some of the very people who were responsible for expelling him, then come back to him and want him to fight on their behalf. And he, of course, could have told them to clear off. They didn't want him in the good times. But now the bad times are here. Suddenly, Jephthah's illegitimacy is not such a mighty problem after all. It's not such a big deal. We can live with it. We can cope with it. So they want him to go and fight for them and with them because they cannot handle the Ammonites by themselves. And yet, in verse 9, Jephthah replies to them, "If you take me back to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head?" Now here, we do get some evidence of his spiritual life. He's not just a thug, a raider, a bandit. We know that he's a mighty man. We know that he's a warrior. He commands a troop of men, and his own people, though they've rejected him, they do acknowledge that. And yet he understands that it is the Lord who will deliver the Ammonites if they are delivered. He understands that although he might be a mighty warrior by the standards of his own people, it's the Lord who gives the victory. And the Lord, of course, may choose to use him, but it's still the Lord who gives the victory. And so we do sense a real acknowledgement within him that it's the Lord who brings about the victory. It's the Lord in whom they and he ought to trust. Notice also, and some of you will remember this from Billy McCurry on Sunday morning, we have the covenant, the personal name of God being used here. He's not just talking about God or any old God. He's talking about the God of the covenant, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's talking about the God of Jephthah, the God who knows and who is known, the God who reveals himself, the God who cares, the God who redeems. He names the Lord, and he understands it's the Lord who will deliver the people. It's not Jephthah. And yet what we have here is, he says, will I be your head? Now one commentator says, look, he's using the opportunity to promote himself. He is a little bit self-serving here. Here's an opportunity, and he grabs it in order to make himself the top dog. And yet I kind of think, well, if God has called him to be a judge and a leader, he was right to make that request. In other words, I think he's saying, are you only going to use me to fight your battles for you, and then you discard me when I've won the victory? I'm afraid some people have that approach to Jesus Christ. When they've got difficulties and trials, then they ask him for his help. But is he their head when he's delivered and rescued? At that point, some then walk away. They've used him for what they wanted. Who's their head? They're still in charge of their own lives. They want him to save. They want him to deliver. They want him to aid. They want him to support. They reject his lordship. And when we become a Christian, Jesus Christ becomes our Saviour and our Lord. And I once heard it preached, you can judge for yourself whether this was correct, that some people have acknowledged Jesus as their Saviour, but not as their Lord. I'm afraid my view is, if he's not your Lord, he's not your Saviour. And I think what he's saying here is, will you have me as your judge? Will you have me as the Lord's appointed leader for this time in which we live? Or are you just wanting to take advantage of my military skills when it suits you? So when the Lord delivers them, notice he seems to think that the Lord will deliver the Ammonites and that he will be the man to do it. Shall I be your head? The victory is going to be given. But after that victory, will you still do what is right in your own eyes? Or will you submit to the Lord through me? He has a longer term vision for the welfare of the people. He can see that the problem is not just the Ammonites. The Ammonites are the symptom of the problem. The problem is that their heart is away from God. And the Lord has allowed the Ammonites to come and attack them that they might cry out to him. But if when the Ammonites are defeated, they are still not with the Lord or faithful to him, then actually the problem is still there. I think Jephthah is able to see that. They seem to respond positively. Verse 10, the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord will be witness between us. They too invoke the Lord's covenant name. In other words, we are telling you the truth, and may the Lord witness the words which we speak to you now. If we do not do according to your words, we are submitting to you. The man whom they rejected has become the capstone. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead and the people, made him head and commander over them. Interestingly, he asks about the situation after the victory, but they quite rightly make him their head and commander before the victory. Quite rightly, quite proper. Furthermore, there's a strange expression here. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Does it mean he went to Mizpah to pray? It could mean that. Again, these Old Testament characters, it's always worth looking. What is their spiritual life? You'll know, if you're familiar with the books of Kings, that the kingdom of Israel didn't have a great number of godly kings, by which I mean they had none. The best they had was a king called Jehu or Jehu. And the Lord uses him. He is God's righteous instrument to destroy a wicked royal family. But his own walk with the Lord, of that we read little. Some of the kings of Judah had genuine relationships with the Lord. I think of Hezekiah, Josiah and Jehoshaphat. But it might be here we have further evidence of that relationship we have with the Lord. And, you know, if the Lord Jesus is our Lord and he is our Saviour, he's also one with whom we have a relationship, an intimacy, a friendship. He is the one before whom we pour out our souls. He is the one with whom we share our problems. He is the one we should turn to when we're feeling lost and when we're feeling down. He is our friend. He is our Lord. He is our God. He is our Saviour. He is also our friend. And it might be here, these words spoken are words of commitment to the Lord. I think what it probably means, though, is that the ceremony of making him the head and the commander, the call to become their leader and his acceptance of that call were made before the Lord at Mizpah. In other words, this is not some kind of private arrangement. It is a public ceremony, witnessed by all, but importantly, witnessed by the Lord, said before the Lord, commending himself and consecrating himself to the Lord. He has agreed to be their military leader. He has agreed to become the head of the nation for that particular time in which he is alive. But he wants to commit that to the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. And of course, Jephthah could have promised this and promised that. But except the Lord go with him, the Ammonites will win. And I think there is a humility here. It's a way of making sure the people of Israel are faithful because they're making these promises before the Lord. But I also think it is a committal of what's going to happen to God's good keeping. And when we begin an enterprise or we have a situation, it's always good to lay it out before the Lord and ask his blessing upon it. Ask that he be glorified by it and through it. And that if it's not his will, he makes it clear. So I think we can learn from Jephthah. He does have a spirituality about him. Friends, work on your prayer life. Work on your spiritual life. Work on that intimacy you have before the Lord. Make sure you subject yourself, not to Jephthah, he's no longer here, not to any human leader, essentially, but to the Lord Jesus himself.
Yeah.
That you speak according to his will, think according to his will, act according to his will, and not to your own. And then what you do, commit those plans to the Lord, that he might bless and sustain. Amen.